Lord, as we have read and heard Matthew's account of this Easter morning, we can hear and sense the fear, the misunderstanding, the disbelief, the joy, all mixed together, those two women encountered that morning. Disbelief as well, oh God, that something that had never happened before took place in their very midst. Something so exciting, so dumbfounding that they weren't sure what to do and Jesus needed to give them instructions. We are here today to receive a word from you, O God. Instructions, as it might be, to live as Easter people. What we may be doing in the world as we leave from this worship service today. We pray, O God, that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive your message for us this day, that we may be changed and renewed as we leave here. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. In our travels, most of us have probably noticed the tragic scene of a roadway cross, bouquets of flowers, perhaps candles, a stuffed animal, or a jersey from a local high school. As we notice this, we know that there was a moment on this road when something horrific happened, and a person or persons lost their lives. Highway deaths and roadside memorials have become so common that some states are seeking alternatives, for traffic safety officers worry that these memorials are a dangerous distraction to drivers and put those who maintain the memorials in harm's way. Delaware is one of several states providing alternatives to roadside memorials. The Delaware Highway Memorial Garden has been created and is maintained at a highway rest area. Among the trees, shrubs, and flowering plants is a pathway lined with memorial bricks that bear the names of those who have lost their lives on the roads of Delaware. In the center of the garden is a pond with goldfish, frogs, water lilies, and a gurgling waterfall. And tucked amid the busyness of two nearby highways, it's a peaceful place to remember and reflect. For one mother whose son lost his life nearly 30 years ago on a rural road in that state, driving by the site of the accident is still too painful. She avoids it even after all these years. Instead, she visits the memorial garden regularly, where she sits quietly near the brick that bears his name and honors the memory of her son. Long ago, another mother lost a son. It's not likely, however, that she ever went back to the place where he died. There's not much chance that she wanted to sit by a cross like some mothers might do today. The cross on this hill was the instrument of her son's most cruel and painful death. She'd been there to witness it. Where would she go, though, to remember? Did she want to erect a memorial? Did she want some place that she could visit and just think about her son? Did she want to erect a pillar of stones in his memory in his hometown of Nazareth or in Bethlehem, where he was born? Did she want to post a sign at the site at some of his most famous miracles? Or did she want to turn the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus into a shrine or a museum in his honor? Her people, after all, had a strong tradition of building memorials. The patriarch Jacob set up memorials to mark decisive events in his life, as did Joshua after crossing the Jordan. Surely, the thought crossed her mind, how can I remember my son? How can we all remember my son? Perhaps she had heard from the disciple John that on the night before her son died, even he, her son, had talked about being remembered. They'd been eating and hanging out together when suddenly Jesus took some bread and gave it all to his disciples, said a brief prayer of thanks, and then told them to take it and eat it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." But this is speculation. We don't know if Mary ever went to the tomb where they took her son after he died. Roman Catholic tradition says that Jesus appeared to his mother first, making it unnecessary for her to go to the tomb. But that aside, who could know the agony she endured from Friday to Sunday morning? Even the care she received from the beloved disciple, presumably whose name was John, could not alleviate the sadness and the despair that she must have felt. After the initial questions and confusion subsided, much of what she heard Jesus say must have come flooding back to her in her mind. She would never need to visit a cross or a tomb. She would need to erect a pile of stones. She would never need to maintain a museum. She'd never need to plant a garden. For her son, who was dead, in fact, was alive. Not just in the past tense, he is alive. While Mary, Jesus' mother, may not have felt like she needed to go to the tomb that first Easter morning, two other Marys did. The very same instinct that drives people to the site of a crash may have carried Mary Magdalene, a close follower of Jesus, and another woman named Mary, who was identified a few verses earlier as the mother of James and Joseph, to the tomb early in that morning. They came not with the handmade cross and flowers, but with oils and spices. They came not to set up a roadside memorial, but to care for the body of the one they followed, the one who loved and accepted them when no one else did. They came prepared to do the only thing they could think of, to honor the memory of Jesus. It's a normal reaction, this need to take care of, to tidy up, to do something. Many of us visit the graves of loved ones, placing flowers, saying a prayer, perhaps even talking to the individual, and we remember this person. Like the two Marys, it's all that we can think to do. And we want people to know that we remember and we care. But the Marys never get to do their task. Before they can get to Jesus' body, they're greeted by an angel who tells them no memorial is needed. Jesus, the one who was crucified, has been raised from the dead. He's no longer in the tomb. In their confusion, the Marys run to tell the disciples what they have seen and heard. And along the way, they are met by the resurrected Jesus. They want to hold on to him, to worship him. But Jesus instructs them to find the disciples and to tell them to meet him in Galilee. The one they thought was in his final resting place is instead on the move. He's still calling them to follow him. Our instinct to mark and remember upheaval, crisis, and life-changing events is a good one for us. Just look at how the city of Boston commemorates the tragic events that took place at the marathon 4 years ago. It's cathartic. It's good to remember. It's good to move on, but it's also good to remember what took place that day. As I mentioned earlier, marking the places where significant life-altering events occur is an ancient practice. For example, after his dream of a staircase between heaven and earth, Jacob, in the Old Testament, marked that spot. He took the stone that he had used for a pillow that night and stood it on end, poured oil on it as an act of anointing, and named that place. He wanted to remember what had happened there. The two Marys went to the tomb of Jesus to mark the spot where their lives had changed. They wanted to remember and honor the one who had so significantly altered the trajectory of their lives. Families and friends erect and care for roadside memorials at crash sites to mark the spot where their lives changed in an instant. They seek to honor and remember those whom they have loved. On Easter Sunday, we too come to remember the moment when life changed forever. We come to remember that Jesus, the one who cares for us, who loves us and accepts us even when it seems no one else does, has been raised from the dead. The tomb could not hold him. He is alive. Death has been defeated. Life wins. Thus, no memorials are needed except for one, our lives. By following Jesus, by giving Jesus our very lives, we offer living memorials to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There are hints of this concept later in the New Testament, past the Gospels. The Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Rome who were following Jesus these words: "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern that which is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." For the ancient disciples following Jesus did not end at the cross. They followed Jesus even after the resurrection. In Galilee, their home, the place where Jesus had first called them, where their journey with Jesus had begun, he would give them further instructions. This was their memorialization. They were to follow. They were to feed the flock. They were to baptize and make disciples. They had work to do, and all of it would help them to remember and to honor Jesus. Jesus likewise calls us to follow him in the places that we know, to follow him in work, at school, with our families, in conversations with our friends, and in ministry to our communities. The one who has shown us resurrected life calls us to share that new life with others. The news is too good to keep it to ourselves. We're to tell others about what he has done for us and to offer them the love, grace, and healing that we have received from Christ. To honor Jesus, to remember where our lives were changed forever, no memorial is needed. We celebrate Jesus instead with a changed and resurrected life. Jesus is alive and calling us to follow him even today. Death has been defeated. Life wins. No memorial is needed. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your resurrected life, that you came back to life to prove that you have power over death, that life wins and death does not. But Lord, in our human lives, we struggle with that. We still experience the pain of death. We still experience the separation from loved ones. But Lord, it is through your life, your death and resurrection, that we have the hope to go on from day to day. And the promise that one day you will call us to our eternal home, that we'll be reunited with our loved ones, and we will meet you face to face. Until that day, O God, help us to live as faithful followers of the resurrected Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen.